My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, so we've heard from the Haslams. We'd heard from the county. We've heard from representatives of the mayor's office. Not really a lot from Mayor Bibb. And now we hear from Mark Namek from Signal, Ohio. You sometimes see him on WKYC on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to help make some common sense out of some big picture items when it comes to the Browns and their future. Mark, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm well. Thank you. A lot of news this last couple of weeks, and not much of that driven by the Browns.
All right, well, we heard from the county yesterday, and Ken and I were a little confused at some of the things the county executive, Chris Ronan, has said. I'm wondering if you had some of the same questions, and whether or not right now you think it behooves anybody to start backing either the county, the city, or the team, or do you think we still need so many more specifics?
We need more specifics, and let's first set the stage. This deal right now is between the city of Cleveland and the Browns, because that's where the stadium is, that's where the lease is. What we saw over the weekend and yesterday was really the county saying, hey, right now, fellas, we're not getting involved. We're not throwing our hat in on Brook Park, because that's the point at which you have to reach to the county if you want to go bigger, broader, because the county controls three really potentially critical revenue sources for major projects, right? That's the hotel bed tax, which you pay to stay overnight. They've used that for other projects in the past. That could be something used here. There is the sin tax, which you need a vote of council and then ultimately go to the voters, which we know right now supports the three stadiums right now, and it doesn't even cover enough, bring in enough money to cover the repairs. There's sales tax increases. So there's a lot that the county can do, most likely, you know, the biggest part of that being backing the debt, you know, writing off, being willing to support if a project falls short to cover the costs. So that's really all related to the Brook Park deal. Right now, we're still waiting to see more of the details of what Mayor Bibb offered the Browns relative to the $1.2 billion renovation. And that really is, you know, more than just fixing up signs and stuff. That would be really quite a bit of a redo of that stadium.
Mark Namek joining us, Signal, Ohio. So in as layman's terms as possible, what's the chances for a regular Browns fan that this has a chance to be done, the Brook Park Dome? Like, could it still be done, or is there now a big hit towards this?
Yeah, all right. I'll have to borrow some sports analogies here. Yeah, it's fourth quarter. The Browns are deep in their own territory. I mean, losing the county right now, closing the door to those financial options makes it tough. There's still state money. And the Browns all along didn't want one source. They wanted the city, the county, and the state. So they're pursuing all of those, but very difficult, clearly, if you're not going to get them together. Because right now the mayor and the county are both essentially putting a pretty good stiff arm on the Browns.
Martin Amick joining us on the show. So could there be, is there like a, I don't want to start doing hacky sports things here, but is there a way around it? I won't say end round, but is there a way around the city and the county here for the Browns?
No, but they could sweeten the pot for both of them. For example, I've mentioned before, there's lots of plans out there that people could do. One would be try to get state lawmakers to create a Ohio sports, you know, authority that would become an entity that could issue bonds. Again, you still need a lot of support from state lawmakers. They could do it. The Browns could push this as a economic development project and try to seek the same kind of incentives and grants that Intel gets in Columbus. There are a lot of elements that they're, I'm sure they're likely pursuing, but right now it still is this deal between the city and the Browns. And the biggest unanswered question is, when you peel back some of the mayor's numbers, roughly $460 million is what they're offering, and a lot of that is money they have to set aside for ongoing maintenance. That does include a portion of the Syntax, but that Syntax runs out in 10 years. So at some point, the city's probably got to talk to the county and see what they could do with support for a countywide Syntax if they were going to renovate. But as Chris Ronayne said yesterday, it was a little bit of news getting lost in there, is that he does not support a Syntax for any one stadium. He sees that as something that would have to be for all three, since the taxpayers here are pretty much on the hook for those projects.
Do they believe that a renovation is really feasible and something that's long-lasting, or is this kicking the can down the road?
You know, it depends who you talk to. Signal Cleveland and my colleague Nick Costello has written a lot about the audit that's been done of the current stadium, which shows, you know, lots of needed repairs. But we've heard from, you know, former, Cleveland, Ken Silliman. He used to be with the city of Cleveland. He helped get that stadium where it is, was on the Gateway board. And they'll argue that stadium is solid. Sure, it needs upgrades. I know right now they need a pedestrian ramp, gutter replacements, hot water tanks. These are all things that the city's on the hook to repair. But a $1 billion renovation could keep it going. The Browns argue, you know, over time, that's still going to cost more. And we've heard that argument in Nashville, and ultimately city leaders there ended up building a new stadium. So there's two sides to this thing, and both sides will go hard on it.
Mark Namick from Signal Ohio joining us on the hotline. So obviously it doesn't matter to me whether or not the Haslams make money. I don't think most taxpayers care if they are going to benefit royally from a project. What they care about is, all right, if the Haslams are making money, what is the region? What is the county? What is the city involved going to get out of it? And obviously, they are going to talk Super Bowls. They are going to talk Big Ten championships and WrestleManias and Final Fours. And we've been able to maybe at times punch above our weight before and get some big time events over the years. I think the question is, the Haslams aren't going to make any more money off that structure downtown, and the city's not going to get anything out of it. So doesn't it stand to reason that if they can show that this project truly does pay for itself, I know there's a lot of political jargon and political cliche in, you know, even what I just said, wouldn't that be something that the county would get behind?
Yes, but let's go back up on two points here. One is, yes, the roofed stadium, and remember, it's not really a dome, but we like to say that. This is a roofed stadium. It looks more like a warehouse roof. An enclosed structure gives the operator of that facility a lot more options to bring in concerts, car shows, you know, you name it. that is something that would benefit the Haslams and something that they want to do and something they say helps pay for it. Now, the argument that's emerging now is we can't invest in that if it's going to pull from our other investment, which is Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. There's no question that these two facilities would compete for some. There's not that many big, big level events. What I saw when the Haslams released those proposals recently in their sketches is, no, they see this facility as pulling in a lot of a big range of stuff. Does that compete with Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse? I think there is, you know, an argument that can be made, and that's what the county's saying, that potentially cuts into that. So is there a net gain for the region, or is the net gain for the Haslams?
Is it unfair to say that Dan Gilbert would be pulling against that then?
Well, he's investing quite a bit in the region now. I don't know what he would say. I would think there would be some concern by the operators of the arena. Would they be competing for some of the same events? Now, they would have, you know, they could offer something different. The Haslam's plan says, look, you know, parking and this whole, you know, larger entertainment district around it, that's what they want. Obviously, we have Rocket Mortgage Field downtown with its own entertainment district. But we are talking to a certain extent about the same pie, with the benefit of a roofed stadium maybe drawing some of those occasional bigger events. But that's the debate that has to go on between, you know, those owners. Right now the county said we can't invest in something that is working against our other investments. That's really what he's saying, because we've already put public money into Rocket Mortgage, downtown, the stadium, people don't get this, but there was a reason why they were at the Hilton Hotel yesterday. That is a county-financed hotel. That was their argument. The optics of it were pretty obvious with the stadium looming, but like, hey, our investments are going on down here. If you move the stadium, that might even hurt our hotel. I mean, that's what they were saying, and that's the argument they're making in print, on radio. But this isn't over yet, but certainly there's a lot more to be worked out, and the clock is ticking. Although I pointed out before, guys, that, you know, Cleveland Municipal Stadium, Cleveland Round Stadium, whatever we want to call it right now, doesn't turn into a pumpkin when the lease ends. If they haven't figured it out or they need more time, you know, the Browns will still be playing in Cleveland.
It's scary to me when you say the term clock is ticking, though, That does spook me there, Mark.
Ticking to the existing lease. I mean, we've had no signal from the Haslams that they're leaving the region. You know, I'm not really buying into this leaving Cleveland if they move to the border. I mean, you know, most people couldn't make the distinction there.
Especially since it used to be Cleveland, so that tracked the land.
Yeah, there's been some... Yeah, but there has been nothing from the Haslams that would suggest they were looking to leave the region at all. In fact, obviously by their proposal, they're trying to invest more in the region. So that hasn't come up, and I wouldn't play that game out. But the lease on the stadium runs out in 2028. But nothing has to say, you know, they need 2-3 years to build. They're going to need 2-3 years to renovate, you know, which has to be done in phases. Potentially, if they're going to keep playing where they are. And don't forget, guys, that the lakefront plans, you know, I've been around 30 years. I've seen many lakefront plans. Most have never come together. We saw kind of a push, ironically, led by the Haslams under Frank Jackson's administration to kind of look at that and help redevelop. Bibb wants to go somewhere. We still have the unanswered question of will Burke Lakefront Airport close? The mayor has said he wants to close it. A lot of pieces have to happen on that. No, you could not build a stadium on that, but that is also land that really changes how you could use that whole waterfront.
Mark, we thank you very much for the time. All the best. Keep in touch. I know this is our first time ever talking to you, and hopefully it won't be the last. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Happy to do it.
Thank you very much. Mark Namek, Signal Ohio, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You were wondering over the last few days, how are people going to take in the Deshaun Watson status? No one's had any chance to see him. You didn't see him in the preseason game. They were down at Greenbrier. The dual practices are not going to be televised. So
neither will the Revolution, man.
You can understand why fans are going to be trepidatious about their quarterback with a new offense.
Yeah, it's going to be a grinding your hands type of thing when you're watching them, because I can't imagine he's going to be out there for very long against the Seahawks.
Right.
I got to know what Jed Wills' situation is. And you know, we could ask Daryl later in the week, or ask Mary Kay later on Thursday or something like that. I know we go around the AFC North tomorrow. But we got to figure out more on Jed Wills, because, I mean, there's the PUP list, and I don't know if he's going to be just out for the first 4 weeks of the season or whatever, because nobody wants to put him out there if James Hudson is playing left tackle. Like, there may be a point where you're forced to, but no one wants to voluntarily do that. And so you wouldn't do that in the preseason because he's playing left tackle and you're not seeing live action against your own defense. But if you're going to be seeing live action, you want the best you have to offer. The best you have to offer is still Jed Wills. But if he's not able to go, you get a little nervous about that. But if Jed Wills is not ready to go week one, and I have not seen him in a helmet at all so far. Now, I haven't been there as much as, like, Daryl. I haven't been there as much as Nathan, obviously. I haven't seen him in a helmet so far, so I'm left to wonder, okay, what can he really provide at the beginning of the season?
This was going to be a huge camp, a huge whatever for him leading up to the season, which was going to be big just for his future.
Because it's not, we always see it halfway, and it's not, we can't just see it halfway. It's not just Deshaun Watson playing in the final preseason game. You have to put him with his ones to protect him. So does that mean that Jed Wills is intending to play in the final preseason game against Seattle? Because that might tell us a whole lot. Is James Hudson III going to play over at left tackle on that game against Seattle? And then, okay, does he end up having to be the guy who's starting week one against Dallas? Like, these are things we have to ask ourselves. 216-474-0092. But real quick, what did you take away from the interview with Mark Namek? Because I took one big piece of it away when it comes to the field house.
I think that right now he is taking the outlook, at least Mark was with us, that financially, you know, along with what the county said, financially, this isn't adding up just yet. There's going to have to be a lot more transparency, a lot more information before we can truly dream about having that state-of-the-art facility capable of attracting world-class events in Brook Park.
Mark Namek, Signal Ohio. Hit it.
The argument that's emerging now is we can't invest in that if it's going to pull from our other investment, which is Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. There's no question that these two facilities would compete for some. There's not that many big, big level events. What I saw when the Haslams released those proposals recently in their sketches is, no, they see this facility as pulling in a lot of a big range of stuff. Does that compete with Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse? I think there is, you know, an argument that can be made, and that's what the county's saying, that potentially cuts into that. So is there a net gain for the region, or is the net gain for the Haslams?
It's been brought up a couple times before. Okay, well, if you had a new stadium, what events would move away from the Fieldhouse? You have monster trucks already there in the summertime, but you could have them there in the wintertime. Okay, that's one. I don't need to go down a laundry list of all the things, but the things that you think of off the top of your head. Like, Disney on Ice ain't going anywhere. All right. The Super Bowl is played in a football stadium, obviously. Okay. Final Four, women's Final Four, you can play it in an arena. Men's Final Four is never going back to a regular arena. So you start to come down the list.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And I don't know how much they're really missing out on. I mean, they tried the winter ice thing. It didn't really go. Bad weather. It was actually nice weather, but it was bad weather for the ice.
Yeah, too nice.
So there's not really much you could do there. I don't know how many things are being taken away from it. I just want to see, like, hearing Chris Ronayne talk about it, I just want to see what other ideas that you have. I want to see them. I don't want to just hear about them. I want to see them. Show me something. Show me something that might make sense. South of Progressive Field, where he brought up in there. And please, don't give me the whole, well, we need bad weather to win football games. You got good football players. That's what you have. And you brought up the 80s, played right into it. They were better football players in the 80s. You didn't win many games in bad weather because you had worse football players. And people keep bringing up the 2007 game against the Bills. Guys, that was 17 years ago. So every 17 years, we're going to have a big snow game? Excuse me, 15 years, because you had the game against New Orleans a couple of years ago where it was 20 below zero.
Yeah, I mean,
record.
That stuff I found cool when I was like 21. You know, when I was 19.
I would still find it cool now, but it's not the same.
Like, I used to talk about that and home field advantage and the good Browns teams of the 80s, the late 80s and the elements. I mean, that's just stuff I don't care about anymore, but I did care when I was younger. I'll tell you this, what I am really interested in now that we have a bit of a wall that's been put up, and this isn't going to be just handed to the team. Like, they're not just going to get this greenlit just like that. Like, hey, we believe your numbers, we believe your financing proposal, and let's just get the syntax going for another venue. Like, it's not going to be that easy.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what is going to get really interesting over the next maybe 6 months. The political deafness of the Haslams. Like, they've been a political family in Tennessee. They have, obviously, when anytime you want to spark real development, it takes a lot of political wherewithal to be able to do that. It's not just financing. It is about understanding, you know, the needs of the area and then working with politicians, both at the local, the county, and the state level. We know that Mike DeWine, you know, was up here last year. That is going to be part of it. There was, we didn't talk about it with Mark, but there is a fund that is set aside for statewide projects involving sports, then getting ODOT and getting the roads and working on, you know, the RTA and expansion of that, you know, next to a renovated Hopkins airport. Like, that's all going to come into play. We're going to see, like, how nimble the Haslams are in being able to do that. Because in the end, Kenny, guess who's not going to matter in all this?
Who's not going to matter?
It's not going to be the voters. The voters are not going to be a big part of this. Notice how many public hearings have there been about this. In the end, it's going to be between the politicians at various levels and the Haslams. And that is what we're about to find out. Who's really good at being able to navigate that?
9 o'clock, we will have our buddy Ryan Wilson joining us on the show from CBSSports.com. It's senior NFL writer, does the draft, does a great job there. Harry Douglas and Dan Orlovsky had a great big argument yesterday on First Take, and for the first time ever, we might be Team Stefanski.
You said if they get quarterback play, they're a legit contender. You don't feel that way about Cleveland when they just did it with Joe? That's what I'm saying.
I didn't say they wasn't a contender. Who do you trust more? You trust Mike Tomlin or you trust Kevin Stefanski more, Dan? Tell me who
Kevin
you trust
Stefanski's
more.
Kevin Stefanski's a two-time coach of the year.
So what? He hasn't won a dang old thing, Dan. Who do you trust more? Stefanski or Mike Tomlin? Answer the question.
They're both great coaches.
Don't tell me about what he's a two-time coach of the year. He ain't
that
won a doggone playoff game.
Kenny, I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now who I support, Stefanski or Tomlin. I'm going to tell you right now. It's a debate show. Scream.
You know.
Holy cow.
You know, really, I'm not going to be the one to throw stones in my glass house over Harry Douglas yelling, right? I'm not going to.
No, we have Scream from time to time.
From time to time, at least once a week.
But I
don't think we're screaming now. I think for the first time ever, we might have an official show stance
here. Yeah. I think you were surprised.
You and I are. I really wasn't. I was a little bit like, well, usually our big arguments is not going to be a big argument because for the first time, I have been a guy who has stated on this show before that I would carry a rickshaw or I would walk a rickshaw down to Pittsburgh and pick up Mike Tomlin and pull him back to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So those were years. That was years ago. And I still think Mike Tomlin is a hell of a football coach. I trust Kevin Stefanski. I don't know how you can see four different quarterbacks winning football games for you last year and not pick Kevin Stefanski. I don't see how you can see a guy who lets different people, who makes the necessary changes for his football team and is willing to delegate the power and seems to be as secure in himself as he is with Kevin Stefanski. Would Kevin Stefanski hire a guy like Matt Canada and leave him in charge as long as he did? You could give me the Joe Woods argument. He let go of Joe Woods. He brought in a much better defensive coordinator in Jim Schwartz. He made that necessary change. Special teams, he made the necessary change. He's been willing to do it this entire time through. He's been willing to self-evaluate. That is still something I have not seen, not nearly as much, with Mike Tomlin. Doesn't mean Mike Tomlin's a bad coach. I think it's a legitimate debate. It's not where one has turned into an old, feeble-minded football coach that time has passed him on. That's not true about Mike Tomlin. It's a vicious debate between those two. I don't think it's a debate between us because I just said what I said about Stefanski, and I think you agree.
I can't believe I've gotten to this place. I mean, this is
surprising.
This is a year removed from hot seat talk and Stefanski, and now I feel totally different about the way that they conduct business, about the way he coaches the team. I do have a lot of trust. And as far as Tomlin, this is not a slight against Tomlin. I have been envious of so many other quarterbacks and coaches over the years, and Tomlin's been one of them. But at some point, right, you got to win, and you've got to win in the playoffs. And Tomlin has not done that in a very long time. The fact that he does have a Super Bowl ring, that has been a game changer for him. But, you know, so does Doug Peterson, right?
He needed David Njoku. Instead of being headstrong with David Njoku, they mended the fence and found some common ground and understanding.
I think he's been able to put out some fires.
He's been able to put out those
fires.
That's
what we always said about Tomlin. Tomlin's been able to handle all the adversity that he's had with very problematic players that, you know, their egos would be a big part of it and could blow up a locker room at any point. Tomlin was always able to navigate that stuff. I actually think that the Browns have shown that ability with Stefanski.
And he's made his mistakes. I know I've talked about flea flickers with rookie QBs and all, and he knows about that too now. But I've talked about his mistakes before, but I do think for the first time, and I think that last year was the proof of it, where it all culminates in a playoff season where you have four different quarterbacks win, five quarterbacks overall, I would trust Kevin Stefanski more. Are Lyman and I crazy? 216-474-0092. I got a tweet here. Twitter Actions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Lance says, the two guys that hosted Stefanski's charity event are in the bag for Stefanski over Tomlin.
I mean,
shocking.
Hey, if Tomlin wants to invite us out to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a foundation.
What's the really good golf course that's had the U.S. Open up there?
Is that, I have no idea.
Oakmont or whatever?
Beachwood.
I'd be happy. I'd be happy to entertain it, and then we'd see where he stacks up off the field with Stefanski.
Yeah.
I'm being serious. I know, obviously.
If it comes down to who you trust more, you trust Kevin Stefanski.
Listen, ask Pittsburgh fans right now how they feel about Mike Tomlin. I mean, and I know there are people in Cleveland that don't feel great about Stefanski.
Their program director listens to our show in the morning, usually because they're just ripping off our ideas. Have him post a poll. Who would they trust more, Stefanski or Mike Tomlin?
Have him do it.
Yep. I got a guy who's won games with four different quarterbacks last year, had to play five overall. I had a guy who had to somehow navigate the waters between the most popular quarterback that we've had since Bernie Kosar, and had to jettison him, and got a lot of heat for that. And then has brought in Deshaun Watson, who has not been great. Has had certain flashes, but has not been great, and still was taxed with getting them to the playoffs. Has had to fire coaches on his staff. Has had to let those guys go, look them in the eye and let them go. Has had to bring in other guys. Has had to delegate ideas. Has had the play calling brought upside, downside, left side, right side, doesn't matter. You know, it takes forever to move anything in Pittsburgh. I feel the same way you do. There was a year before, if I were there talking about Mike Tomlin, Kevin Stefanski, probably about 2021, 100%, probably would have taken Mike Tomlin. Here, now, over the last couple of years, maybe even after just last year, I think it's common sense that I have to take Kevin Stefanski.
The Flacco run definitely got more of, I think, a lot of the credit heading towards Stefanski, because people were wondering, when you had the inconsistencies of Deshaun Watson, well, is it a Stefanski issue? Is it the coach holding the player back? And then Flacco does what he does, has like 13 touchdown passes in five games, a little over five games. Like, all of a sudden, they're like, oh yeah, when the offense is being run the way it's supposed to, then Stefanski, in addition to all the other things that he has been able to prove, like he knows how to delegate, he knows how to be more of that leader, that guy, that defining voice for the team and the organization. I do think he's getting a lot more credit.
Let's go to the phones. Mike and Stowe, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing? Hey.
We're doing okay. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry, I just saw something weird on TV. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I get it. Distractions are tough. So here's the thing. I totally trust Stefanski more than Tomlin now. I think he's evolving into kind of the next Tomlin. You know, because he's
the next Tomlin. Okay, you're blowing my mind here, Mike. Continue.
I'll tell you why. So I was on the fence at first. Remember him? It was him or Saleh way back, right? And I almost wanted Saleh, and God, thank goodness we got that one right. He's evolved. He's shown an ability to stay calm under fire, which at first used to irritate me. Now I'm getting used to it. And I understand it's his method. It's the way he gets it done. He analyzes very calmly from the sides and makes those changes that are needed. And they aren't all easy, as you guys have pointed out. The four quarterback thing was amazing. But I got one good question. If he had Kenny Pickett last year, do you think he won more games? I do. I absolutely do. Wait. And that makes him better than Tomlin.
Okay. So you're saying if he were like the head coach of the Steelers and he had Kenny Pickett,
he would have gotten more out of that guy than Tomlin did. I guarantee it.
He wouldn't have gone into the season with Matt Canada.
Mm-mm. I don't think so either. No, mm-hmm. He made that decision as well. I mean, mm-hmm. Remember when he first got here, he got rid of Greg Williams. I know he was out with the laundry too, but a lot of people here liked that guy. Yeah. That was another tough decision he made. And, you know, the Woods thing out, look, he's showing it. And I think Tomlin sticks around too long. Look how long he had on the Canada. We got rid of Woods at the right time. I just think that shows his ability to be a little quicker to the trigger, and that's better.
Yeah, he's been willing, and I don't think he's been like willy-nilly making moves, jumping from lily pad to lily pad, Mike, and thank you very much for the call. I think there's a fine line between not being trustworthy because you have to go here, 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 and then you stand for nothing, and then I need to make a strong decision here that, yes, is going to cause ripples, but I have to deal with this because I'm the head coach. And so that's what I think he's done. I do not think he would have won it. And maybe, you know, if we had a quarterback, if we went down that road, like if we had if we had Kenny Pickett, he might have made Kenny Pickett look better, and it might have been a bigger waste of time overall because there's only so much you're going to get out of Kenny Pickett. I said, at best, I saw Kenny Pickett as a poor man's Ryan Tannehill, which means a really poor quarterback overall. And Ryan Tannehill had a fine career, but you understand what I'm pointing out here.
I think Kevin Stefanski could have brought that out of him.
But don't you also think, Ken, like, it's kind of a you know it when you see it or you feel it and then you understand it, which is when we had other previous coaches, we can go down the list of Pat Shurmur to Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens. Like, did the players truly respect those guys? And I think
they didn't have enough time.
But I think these guys do. There's no questioning whether they respect Kevin Stefanski.
With Shurmur,
that's a low bar. Yeah. But there are a lot of coaches in this league. Well, the players do not respect
Freddie. No, because Freddie was an assistant before and everybody's buddy, and then he tried to be King Hardass, and it was too little, too late. Sorry, but it's true. With Shurmur and the other names you mentioned, they didn't have enough time. The organization didn't stand for anything. You say whatever you want to about the organization now, but from the front office, you've had the same guys in place for a while. You kind of have a theme of what you're trying to do. Not always. I'm not talking about any of the other stuff as far as like, hey, you know, we do this, that, and the other, and this is we're always going to be good people and all the other. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you want to be on a football field and always trying to get back to that center. That's what I'm saying. You know, organizationally, there's organizations that we do this, like Jerry Jones does with the Salvation Army, right? That's not what I'm discussing. That's public relations. Football-wise, you stand for something. And I've been critical. God knows I've been critical of Paul DiBattista in the past. And I probably will have to be again because I still don't necessarily know exactly what he does. They do. Kevin Stefanski's been in charge now for 5 years. You've had Andrew Berry in there for just as long. So you have cohesion there where your organization actually stands for something where it didn't before. We were just going lily pad to lily pad like that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.